This is the Lord's Day that we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We normally do that on the second Sunday of every month. And my task this morning is to set before you the Lord Jesus Christ. On our communion Sunday, we on purpose choose scripture readings, hymns, sermons that help us focus our minds, our hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when our Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And that's the whole focus that is before us today. In fact, it was a month ago that we had opportunity to consider what we're calling Christ is all in all. Those are good words for a communion service. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Because I want to show you where that phrase is used. We're actually taking it from God's Word. Colossians chapter 3. And we will begin with verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly bodies as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free men, but Christ is all. And in all. We have been considering the all-sufficiency of Christ. Christ is the all-sufficient one to deliver the believer from any and all obstacles which could hinder the final salvation of his soul. I think often of those words found in Matthew, the angelic announcement: "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." From the guilt, from the power of remaining sin, one day from the very presence of sin. when we will be in His presence and able to love Him, serve Him, worship Him with an unsinning heart. Has it ever occurred to you all the possible and or perhaps potential obstacles that could hinder any one of us from arriving at that final day? Think of what's between here and there. We don't know. James says, don't boast. You don't know what a day may bring forth. Much less tomorrow, the next day, the next week. In good health and strength one day, not so the next. Tragedy strikes. Think of all the possibilities of something hindering our safe arrival in the presence of our blessed Redeemer. But not one will hinder our arrival there. Why? Because we have an all-sufficient Savior. He is all in all. To guide, to direct, to bless, to help, and to give us a safe arrival at home with our Lord and our Savior. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 9. There's a wrath to come, the final judgment. What about it? For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we have with you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is, Jesus. Focus on these words, dear ones, who delivers us from the wrath to come. There's a day of judgment. The Lord will deliver His people in that day. Do you see what we're beginning to try to set before you this morning? The all-sufficiency of our Lord, of Christ. Now, this wrath of God is due judgment upon the wicked. The only way for the wrath of God to be removed from a sinner, listen, is for the penalty of sin to be fully paid. That's the only way it can happen. All sin will be punished. I repeat, all sin will be punished. Either the sinner will be punished, or someone will be punished in his place. But it will be punished. And Christ, the all-sufficient Savior, I set Him before you this morning as we prepare to come to the table. Who is this Christ? What has He done? He has paid the penalty. He has paid the price. He has been punished for those whom He came to save. A real substitute in His death. Christ is all. How do we see the all-sufficiency of Christ? It's quite a phrase, isn't it? All-sufficiency. Where does that take your thoughts? For his entire life, from his childhood, through his teens, through his young adult life, on into his more mature adult life. Perfect, sinless. Could I somehow nail those few words somewhere in your mind so that you'll think about that when we make the elements available? What's going to be running through your mind as the men pass the elements out? Perhaps you'll be thinking about the sinless life of our Lord. Sinless as a child, sinless as a teen. That's part of him being all in all. That's part of him being an all-sufficient Savior to save us from the guilt of sin, from the power of sin. Save us one day from the very presence of sin. Hear me well. I want you to get this statement down. The life that he lived qualified him for the death that he died. The life that he lived, a sinless, perfect, holy life, qualified him to die on the cross and to bear the sins, the punishment of others. Had he been guilty of his own sin, he could not have been your substitute. What are some other potentials that could hinder our safe arrival? Satan, the enemy of your soul. The scriptures tell us that Satan goes about as a roaring lion. But that's not all the scriptures tell us. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I often think, what a tragedy a wasted life is. Think of an individual with the potential of being and helping and doing things that are profitable and right for himself and others, and he's ruined. In the depths of sin. All gone, never to be recovered. And to spend eternity in a Christless hell. Satan is the enemy of your soul. And he will do anything within his power to hinder, to destroy, to waste, your life. But I just thought of something. I just thought of Matthew 1:21 again. Did you? You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. From every obstacle that would hinder them from arriving safe in heaven. Yes, we have an enemy. But when we have Christ, our Savior, our Lord, we have the one who has conquered him. Now and for all of eternity. Satan began his attack early on in the garden. They had knowledge. They had innocence. But they were still defeated by Satan. Which tells us that we need not only those things that God has blessed us with, but we need Him to defend us, to take us safe to glory. Christ is the all-sufficient. In that he has also delivered and does deliver his people from the influence of the world. There's a very real world out there. That world has its own music. It has its own dress code, or lack of same. Its own habits, its own goals and desires. Are you listening? And it hates Christ. Our Lord said, if the world hates you, don't be surprised. It hated me before it hated you. And the world hates Christ. That is, it hates the real Christ. Not some phony or imagined one of somebody's imagination that they've conjured up. But the Christ as he's revealed in the scriptures. And the world hates him. I recently, in one of my text messages that I send out, the line of defense, said the world is no friend of grace. The world will never, never help you be godly. And the world will never help you on your way to heaven. It will hinder every step of the way. Some time ago, I think now maybe several years back, talking about the world. Follow me as I try to set this before you, because it's for your good. Because of this friction between the true Christian or professing Christian and the world itself and its lack of standards, many, many times what happens is the Christian becomes worldly in whatever ways that's possible. And it is possible to look like the world, talk like the world, think like the world. But they want to do that under the name and guise of Christianity. And here's what happens. The world is never stable. The world is constantly shifting in its lack of standards in every other aspect that we could name, by which you would say that person is worldly. But what happens is that the world doesn't stay there. The world shifts ever so often, further and further away from Christ. Ever so slow, perhaps ever so hard to measure, but it shifts. And what happens then is that the church, the world, attracts. And the church steps into the place where the world was a year ago or 2 years ago, and takes on whatever the characteristics of the world was then, and can point to the world as it is now moved further and say, oh, no, we're not like the world. That's the world over there. They're standing in the very place where the world was a year ago, taking on the same attitudes, the same characteristics. And what's happening? You're ending up with the world subtly, incrementally taking advantage and causing you to be less and less and less like Christ Himself. In what ways? Speech, attitudes, parents, whatever, you name it. There's no real, genuine Christ-likeness. It's been compromised. But I'm here, dear people, to tell you this. We have a Savior who's able to save us from that, and to purify for Himself a people who are godly, who seek to manifest His presence in their life, and to live by His revealed will, and maintain a standard of righteousness. What I'm doing is setting before you in these moments the all and all of Christ. And I want that to be cemented and fixed in your mind, so that when the elements are given to you and you partake of them, your mind and your heart is saturated with Christ, the Son of God, the Savior. And you know what happens? God has instituted this to be a means of grace. It is a means by which He conveys grace to your soul. And you need it. I need it. We need all the grace we can get. So, may the Lord's Supper be a means of grace to you, to strengthen you in the inner man and in your heart and in your life, so that you're a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, young person of godly character and life in a world that's going to hell. And be salt and light in a very dark place. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we stand before You this morning, and we pray that You will make Your word known to us, make Yourself known to us. And dear Lord, we pray that by Your grace and by the influence of Your own blessed Holy Spirit, that in the partaking of these elements today, that they will be a means of grace to our souls. We pray and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.